Well, let's move to today's lesson. Today we are looking at a parable of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I love Jesus' parables. Jesus draws us into an exploration of the life of faith by telling us tales from everyday living. And if you grew up in Saskatchewan, today's story would be a story from everyday living. Jesus stimulates our imagination. He invites us to consider new perspectives, even as his parables take us on unexpected twists and turns. And today's parable really is no exception. We hear how a farmer sows a field. But when the shoots spring up, the hired hands notice a serious problem. There are thistles, Russian thistles, thousands of them, showing their heads among the newly sprouted heads of wheat. The farmer's employees are shocked by this development. They even question the owner's competence. I mean, had he purchased new seed? Had the seed been properly cleaned? How could this happen? Well, the owner assures them that yes, he does know what he's doing, and that the seed he planted was high quality and clean. As for that invasion of weeds, he chalks it up to sabotage. An enemy is trying to destroy his harvest to get him off the land. Now, it's worthwhile just stopping here. I mean, the parable's just started, but stopping here for a moment to consider what Jesus has laid out thus far. It's important for us to keep in mind that Jesus isn't teaching us about farming, right? Jesus is using agrarian imagery to disclose something important about the life of the church. And if the lesson isn't instantly obvious, his later explanation to the disciples makes it clearer. At the outset of his parable, Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of heaven, that the church, is a place of diverse characters. It's a place where the selfless mingle with the selfish. It's a place where the toxic and the healthy mix together. I don't know if we ever acknowledge this, right? We tend to talk about the church being such a kind place where everyone's so warm and welcoming. Well, that's kind of half the story, right? That's kind of half the story. I mean, most of us can at least recount one dreadful experience, one dreadful encounter that maybe marked our entire year in the life of the church community. I mean, if the church is a family, it is sometimes a very dysfunctional family. Now, maybe we think that the church should be different, and I've heard this from people, right? I've heard from people who have left the church, in fact. They've had one negative experience, and a negative experience, I mean like a serious negative experience, and they think, oh my goodness, I'm out of here. This is not the way it should be. Well, maybe Jesus is teaching us here that every church is imperfect, that every congregation remains about 100 miles away from heaven, that the life in the church is mixed, and that it will be, in many ways, like those mixed communities we find in our workplaces or out in the surrounding communities. He wants us to know that, well, there are broken and hurtful people among the faithful, and that God's enemy is also active. Weeds are planted among the grain. Interesting thought, just at the outset of the parable. I don't know about you, but it whets my appetite for more of the story. Given this unhappy reality, what will the farmer do? Maybe more importantly, what are we to do? Well, as soon as those hired hands hear that word sabotage, they are seething angry. They want to do something, anything, to remedy the situation. One starts looking around the farm for a crate of Roundup. Another says he knows a good crop duster and starts looking up the guy on his cell phone. And yet, strangely, the farmer is uneasy with their enthusiasm. You see, the farmer knows this land. It was his grandfather's. He knows how to nurture crops. I mean, he studied agriculture at university. Over the years, he's had some experience with chemicals as well, some good and some bad. And what he's learned is that when it comes to any application of herbicide, the timing is crucial. The timing is crucial. He tells his employees that it is too late for any Roundup. Yes, it will take out those darn thistles, but it will also destroy the wheat. Now, this is an unexpected turn. We were sort of ready to join in with them and grab our weed whackers. But maybe there's another important lesson waiting to be learned here. We all live in a world of instant. We want matters resolved as quickly as possible. When we are confronted with troublemakers, there is the temptation to move swiftly and deal decisively. And yet how we respond really and truly matters. Moreover, sometimes the medicine can be more damaging than the disease. I mean, I recall my dad. My dad grew up on a farm. He became a dentist, but he grew up on the farm during the 30s. So he was never one to waste anything. And while a fertilizer truck had stopped by the co-op and had lost some of its load, well, he saw an opportunity. He loaded up that fertilizer in a wheelbarrow and sort of spread it on our front yard. He maybe should have been a little more thoughtful, because within a few weeks, we had big bald spots, you know, about the size of tires, wherever that fertilizer went. I don't know what was in the fertilizer. I'm not sure that he actually knew for sure, too. But that front lawn stayed the same for about 10 years. Sometimes the medicine can be more damaging than the disease. Sometimes the greatest disasters aren't caused by the wicked. Sometimes the greatest disasters are caused by good-hearted individuals who take things too far when they try to root out problems. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is opposed to church discipline. Jesus gives us a framework, a process for dealing with conflict when it arises. You'll find that a few chapters ahead in Matthew chapter 18. But if we take that process, Matthew 18, and read it together with this parable, Matthew 13, we'll realize that we ought to be concerned about the conduct of, that while we ought to be concerned about the conduct of those around us, there is a great danger in any rash attempt to establish a pure community. I mean, in your lifetime, how many church splits can you count that were maybe the result of an overzealous attempt to deal with a small problem in the community? Today's epistle shrewdly advises that we best be gentle with those who have been caught in sin, lest we also be tempted and find ourselves to be the taller weed. But Jesus' parable doesn't finish there yet. His last word isn't about a frustrating coexistence of wheat and weeds. His last word is about the harvest. The farmer encourages his hired men who are still seething with anger. He encourages them that despite the sabotage, despite the emergence of all those thistles, that there will be a great ingathering. He reminds them that at the end of summer, they will be climbing up into their trucks with their packed lunches and coffee, rolling out the swathers and the combines and working delightfully dusty 18-hour shifts. He encourages them not to despair about those thistles. Harvest time will come eventually, and when this happens, those weeds will be eliminated while the grain will be safely brought in. Maybe this is where we learn the most important lesson of the parable. The wheat will be gathered. God's good purposes will prevail. Whether Jesus is talking about wheat and weeds or sheep and goats, he promises a great and final judgment where every trace of sin and evil desire are dealt with. No longer will the schemes of the wicked prevail over the plans of the righteous. No longer will those with narrow interests rule the roost in the church. God's people will be purified of every dark encumbrance. We will be set free to fully enjoy the gifts, the good gifts God has given. So, do you hear that parable? Let anyone with ears listen. Through the use of a parable, Jesus reveals that life in the church promises to be challenging, right? Don't get up and leave if there's any moment of difficulty. I mean, otherwise you might as well just sit home, because you're going to find that in every Christian community. The life in the church promises to be challenging. In Jesus' church, you will see the good alongside the bad wherever you choose to worship. Jesus also warns us to be careful in judgment, to be wise and discerning in every attempt to confront and restore, lest we end up doing a heck of a lot more damage than good. Then Jesus leaves us with the final encouragement that in the end, those who have been faithful will be recognized clearly. They will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Most of us have a few bruises and scars that we have received in the church. For many of us, this raises questions about our faith. And this can be a source of, well, confusion and embarrassment. Church shouldn't be like this, we complain to ourselves. Well, yes, it shouldn't. But this is a mixed field. And could it be that one day those wounds will be seen as medals of great honor? I mean, don't they proclaim our ongoing commitment to Christ in the face of great difficulty? Well, until that day, may we do all we can to live together in ways that please God, and may God guard us and preserve us and keep us steadfast in the faith. Amen.